email updates pretty constantly, and so I had one printed out. And then they emailed me one, I think yesterday or the day before, and I was going to print that one out. And lo and behold, I forgot again. Third mistake of the year, folks. And no, I'm just kidding. I mean, a whole lot more than that. Yeah, right. That was just like the last 30 minutes, I think. Three mistakes. No. But anyway, be praying for the Predimans. Write them down on your prayer list, and then I'll share that with you Wednesday. We'll share that letter. But anyway, Predimans to Uganda was our missionary this week. But let's take our Bibles over to Philippians chapter number 4, and we're working on this section really to finish out the chapter. Just got a couple of more messages out of Philippians, and then we'll be moving on to other things. But we saw last week that this last section, really beginning in verse 10 there, and I think we could probably include the whole chapter, but certainly in verse 10 there, really he begins to talk about how he's thankful for the churches. He's thankful for the church's giving and supplying his need. And that's what we really dealt with last week. And today we're going to get through verse 13, the verse that we all know and love, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so I want to get into the meaning of that. So let's look at Philippians 4. We'll start in verse, let's actually just start back in verse 10, read down through verse 13. It says this, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Now, I want you to think about verse 11. If you can understand verse 11, you really can get verse 12 and verse 13. So he says in verse 11 again, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So we're looking at that verse, and again, I said it last week, we really need to study that verse 13 in its context. It's very important, because we could really apply that verse to anything, you know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which if the Lord has led us to do something, then certainly we can do that thing in His strength. So it's not that that thought is wrong, but the verse is in the context of, well, learning how to live through God's provision and supply. And God gives us what we need, not always what we want, right? And so learning to be content is really the message. So let's pray, ask the Lord to bless the message, and we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak through your word to our hearts today. Lord, may your spirit, Lord, even in this afternoon service, may you speak to hearts. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, because we do struggle with this. I really do believe just contentment in general is not something that comes easy to us people. And so, Lord, we just want to ask for your help tonight, and I pray you'd help me to preach it. Lord, give me the words to say, and I pray that you would be glorified, that you'd take all the glory that you're due tonight. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're looking at, again, 10 through 13. We're really wanting to understand what this section means. And so the last part of this chapter, I've really divided into two parts. The first is living in God's supply, which is really verses 10 through 13. And then the last half of the chapter is giving from God's supply, which is verses 14 down through about verse 19. And so I want to point out, you know, we give, but we give out of what God gives us. We give out of His supply. And we'll see this when we get to this in Exodus. It's really neat. That we'll get to a point where we see that they're getting ready to build the tabernacle. And so they have to get all the materials. They got to give the gold, and they got to give the wood and the silver and the you know, all the stuff. They got to give it. And they came and they gave willingly. But if you remember, where did they get all that stuff? Well, they got it when they left Egypt because they spoiled the Egyptians. So God had supplied their need early on so that when they came down here to the area where they had to give, they were really, it's not, we can't even really say we're giving of our own resources. We're just giving out of what God has given to us. So that's kind of how the chapter breaks down. In verse number 10, Paul is encouraged, and he's really giving them a godly pat on the back that they had come through at the last. It just means in the nick of time, right when I needed it, they had come through with a gift. And so they're supplying Paul's living, and others are as well, as he's in the ministry. But specifically here, he's in the prison cell. He's in jail. And so he's completely trusting in the Lord to take care of his need. And he's speaking of how the Lord was able to use the church at Philippi to meet the need. So you may remember from last week that there's a need that's prayed for. God prompts someone to meet the need, and then God supplies for the use. So now then he gets into how we are to live in God's supply, and then he finishes by teaching us then how we give from God's supply. So we're not going to be good givers if we don't understand that it is God that gave it to us in the first place. So I think it's a really good order that, of course, the Lord put in here. Verse 11, let's just start working on this. So we're looking at living in God's supply, trusting God with what we need, trusting God to provide what we need. And we start with verse 11, where Paul, now again, verse 10, he's thankful for God's providential care of him through the church. But then in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. He uses this phrase, in respect of want. Now that word want there means destitution, okay? Destitution, or that he would be sort of lacking the basic needs. So he's saying, it's not that I'm destitute. It's not that I'm lacking the basic needs. He's essentially saying, God always gives me what I need, and he hasn't left me destitute. But he uses that phrase, not that I speak in respect of want. That word is only used one other time in the Bible, and it's in Matthew chapter 12, when the Lord Jesus was watching people give at the temple treasury. And you probably remember the story. Jesus is sitting there watching, and people are casting money into the treasury. And some of them would give kind of obnoxiously, I guess, like blowing a horn. And I mean, wouldn't that be something if you gave your offering that way? I mean, you just blow a horn, everybody looks at you, and you need to slide it into the little slot back there. That'd be really awkward. I hope no one ever does that. But apparently they were. I mean, they were in... What's really neat, if you study that period of time in the first century, they didn't look at pride the way we look at pride. Pride to us is ugly. They were very proud of who they were and where they came from and what they were doing. And they, part of their culture was to let others know. That's one of the reasons they rejected Christ, is because they were expecting a proud Messiah. And what did they get? They got a humble Messiah who humbled himself and came as a you know, lowly carpenter's son. And that was one of the reasons that drove them to not be able to accept him, or to not accept him. So they're over there blowing their horns, and I mean, they're proud about what they're giving and all that. Here comes a certain poor widow lady in Mark chapter 12, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, which if you have a dime in your pocket, you have more money than she had that day. A very little amount of money. You could say, honestly, kind of a worthless amount of money. You couldn't buy anything with that. But she put that in the treasury. And then Jesus, you know the story. He tells and says she gave more than all those people that were casting in all this money and blowing the horns and everything else. It says he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which hath cast in the treasury, for they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her, and here's the word, want. She of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So that word want is really referring to the point of destitution. Where she gave literally, that was all she had, and she gave it. So Paul is saying something like, I want you to know that I have my needs. My needs are being met. I'm not in destitution. Now, consider his situation. He's in jail. He has no earthly possessions. I mean, if he does, they're at someone else's house right now. I mean, he's in jail. I would say, we would probably say, look, we're destitute here. We're in need. Our needs are not being met here. But he's saying, you know, I'm thankful you gave, not that I speak in respect of want. Now, how does he say that? Now, he'll go on later to say really the reason he was happy they were giving was not because of what he was receiving, but what they would receive through giving. Jesus said it is better to give than to receive. Why did he say that? Because as we give to God, God gives blessing to us, and he always gives better than we do. And so at the end of the chapter, Paul's going to get to that and say, it's not that I was thrilled that you were giving to me because I wanted stuff. He's saying, no, I have my needs met. That's not the issue here. But now we need to learn, how does Paul sit in a jail cell, and say, I'm not wanting, I'm not destitute here. I'm thankful for the gift. I'm thankful the Lord used you, but I've got everything that I need. I mean, I'll just be honest. If you were in jail tonight, thankful that you're not, by the way, I haven't made any of those calls yet. Let's just keep it that way, okay? It just depends how the world goes, right? Whether we'll be there or not. No, I haven't made any of those calls. I'm glad for that. But just imagine if you were sitting there in jail, would you be content about your situation? Would you say, man, I've got all I need? I'm just saying, Paul has tapped into something there that's good Christian living. We ought to learn what he is. And he's tapped into this, contentment. Look at verse number 11 again. For I have learned, this is a learned behavior. You see that? For I have learned, and let me say this. You don't come out of the womb content. Right? No, we learn discontentment from a very early age, okay? So he's trying to say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to be full and to be hungry and to abound and to suffer need. He had learned contentment. I want you to notice in this verse, his contentment doesn't have to do with his circumstance. He's content when he's abased. You know what abased means? It's not what you do to the Thanksgiving turkey. Aren't y'all ready for Thanksgiving? Man, this weather out here, this feels like Thanksgiving is getting here, and I'm loving it. Now, y'all aren't supposed to get me off track on that kind of stuff. Let's get back to it. You know, abased means this idea of running low. If you ever seen a river that has dried up and it's been dry for a while and then the ground starts to crack with those really, because it's used to having moisture and it's used to having water on it, and now it started to really crack and dry. That's the idea of being abased. It's not having what you need. It's running low. Paul was content when he was abased. But get this. Do you know what it means to abound? Okay, that's when the river's flowing and there's no dry ground. That's when the bank account's full and the bills are paid and you can even afford to go out to eat this week because you got it all done. You know, it's abounding. I don't have any needs. Did you know you can be just as discontent in that state? As you are, there are people who have very little and are super content, and there are people who have a lot and are not content. Contentment is not directly related to our stuff. It's an attitude thing. It's a heart thing. Paul is saying, I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. If I'm abased, if I'm, you know, physically and humanly, we'd say I have needs, I'm content. If I have all the things that I feel like humanly I need and my needs are met and I have over and above and I can say my cup is running over, I'm content. John Phillips said, Paul has learned to live in complete detachment from his circumstances. His circumstances were ordered by the Lord, so in his mind, all is well. The attitude of contentment is just a display of perfect trust in God. It's not resting, it's just... I'm sorry, it's not worrying, it's just resting in the Lord. We think, I think, if I just had a little more pad in the bank account, I'd be content. You know what I've learned? No, you're not. That's not how you get contentment. You can have all the money in the world and not be content. You go, and again, I just encourage you to look. I don't know if I encourage you to watch these interviews, but you could watch interviews with some of the richest people in the world. They're not content. They'll work themselves into the grave so they can give their money away to somebody else. They're not content. They haven't reached a point where they've had enough. They're always wanting and pushing for more. So again, it's a heart attitude. So Paul here, he's saying, I've learned when I'm running low to be content. I've learned when I've got all the human things that I feel like I need, I've learned to be content there. I'm just content. Times of drought, times of plenty, I'm content. In verse 12, notice he uses the word how. I know how to be abased. I mean, we know what being abased is. We've probably all experienced that, where we've had little or less than we thought we should have. We've been abased. So we know what that is. Our question usually is why? Why am I abased? You know, to which the Lord says to us, well, sometimes he doesn't give us the answer. Sometimes it's our own fault. Sometimes it's a trial. But our question many times is why? But notice Paul isn't concerned with the why or the what. He says, I know how to be abased. How? How is an important question in the Bible. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he didn't ask, why should I be born again? He said, how? How? How can I be born again? Do you know how to be content when you're abased? Do you know how I didn't say it like this. Do you know how to be abased? You're like, yeah, I know. Spend more than you make, you'll be abased. No, not that. How to live, how to be content, how to be having the joy of the Lord. This whole book is about the joy of the Lord. How can I have the joy of the Lord even when by worldly standards I don't have the things I think I need? We really do have what we need, but let me ask you this. Do you know how to abound? So in lean times, our reaction sometimes helps us to know if we know how, okay? If I know how to be abased, in lean times, my reaction to it, my response to it will tell me how I'm doing. So if I'm running low and I feel like I'm living this part of my life where I'm abased, if my reaction and my response is panic, disappointment, worry, I hate to bring it up again, but murmuring from this morning, grumbling, then I don't know how to be abased. What I don't see in the book of Philippians is Paul grumbling about his circumstances. I never do. I never see that. Okay, so do we know how to be abased? Here's another thing. Do we know how to abound? That's also a good question to ask. Do you know how to abound? You say, yeah, that's easy. Let me ask you, when times are good and we're abounding, what comes out of our life? Pride? It's a fair question. In the New Testament, that was many times linked. Pride was linked to abounding. Well, if I'm abounding, it must be something I'm doing right. God must love me more than this person. Pride. How about this? Self-control. Do you know God doesn't want us to be wasteful even when we're abounding? See, if I have no self-control when I'm abounding, that tells me something about I don't know how to abound. Wisdom. Using wisdom when abounding. Again, do we know how to be abased? Do we know how to abound? That's the question. Paul says, in everywhere and in all things, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. I'm instructed. I've been instructed. I know how to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to be abased. How do we get to that level of contentment? That's the question. That's the question for the night. How do we understand how to abound, how to be abased? How do we know how to be full and how to be hungry? Well, that's what verse 13 is all about. Look at verse 13. I can do all things. What all things? Abound and abased. I mean, I can go through those good high times of life, and we like those times. Amen? Those times are more fun, it seems like, than the abased times. But Paul says, I can do both. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jesus Christ was enough for Paul. It's like this. He was able to rest in Christ to the point where he knew, no matter what, and I don't think Paul had a checkbook, but we do, so. Whatever my checkbook says, I have Christ. And Christ has promised to provide for my need. That's enough. If the Lord doesn't give us physically and humanly and worldly what we think he ought to give, if he's given us salvation, Paul says, it's enough. The Bible word is sufficiency. Jesus is my sufficiency. If he's my sufficiency, then he's enough. In fact, the word sufficiency in the Bible means many enough. Jesus is many enough. I promise you the dollar does not matter as much as Jesus does. I promise you that. The Lord has warned us in his word about putting our trust into riches, because they can come and they can go. But Jesus is many enough. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything you will ever need. And Paul, that's where his mind and heart rested, was in that Jesus was his sufficiency. So therefore, you could take everything from Paul and he's content, because he still has Jesus. You could give everything to Paul, and it doesn't make his contentment go up or down. It doesn't make his joy go up or down. No, no, no. Because his joy and his contentment was found in Jesus, which is many enough. He says this in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Jesus was Paul's many enough. I know that may not be good English, but it was. He was Paul's many enough. It's like a child who, and I know kids aren't super content usually, so maybe a bad example, but it's like a kid who's just learned, you know, mom and dad, they're going to take care of me. I don't have to worry. Wouldn't it be nice to just go back to those days when you didn't worry? You know, a kid, they just don't worry about the food. They don't worry about the bills. They don't worry about the circumstances. Why? Because mom and dad are taking care of them. And they've learned to rest in that. Our problem is we want to take all our problems in our life and our living, and we want to judge ourselves by the whether or not we're abounding or being abased, all those things. But you understand, Jesus doesn't judge us that way. He doesn't care. He does not care how much money you have. He doesn't care. That's not where he looks. He looks on the heart. And we ought not to look at those things to get our sufficiency. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you're rich. You are rich. You got more than most of the world, because most of the world doesn't have him. You're rich. Turn to John 15, and I'm almost done. Boy, I got to come up with more material. It's like way early. No. Just go to John 15 real quick. The issue we have in our world today is everyone measures everything by the dollar. That's it. Everything's measured that way. But Jesus doesn't measure that way. Not even a little bit. Our contentment can go up, can be up or down. It's unrelated from the dollar. Our sufficiency needs to be in Jesus. And so here it is. Here is why Paul, sitting in prison with nothing, said, "I'm good." Because he was in the vine. Look at this. John 15, sufficiency of Christ, Jesus being enough. John 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Look at the instruction here, verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." So hit the pause button for a second and think about a tree and some branches, or a vine and some branches. What happens when we go and we cut a branch off of the tree and we lay it over here next to the tree on the ground? What's going to happen to that branch? It's going to die. It's not going to have the sufficiency that it needs. So what Jesus is saying is, here's where you'll find your contentment. Here's where you'll find your sufficiency. Here's where you'll find your strength. Here is where you'll find your joy. Here's where you'll find your peace. Here's where you'll find your comfort. Here's where you'll find everything you need when you're plugged in to the vine. That's it. And Paul was plugged into the vine. And he had everything he needed, regardless of what the checkbook, and I keep saying checkbook, I don't even know how, I think they carried their money in a bag. No matter how the bag looked, it doesn't matter. That's not, now if God blesses, we'll talk about it, because that's the last half of Philippians. If God blesses, there must be a reason for that. But if it's a lean time, then we're trusting God, but our joy is in Him, our sufficiency is in Him, our contentment is in Him. I have seen brothers and sisters in Christ go through some incredibly difficult times and be content. And they're just as happy as any other time of their life. How is that? What are they plugged into? They're plugged into the vine. The Lord says here, if you remove yourself from the vine, you're going to die. You can't do it. But if you'll plug yourself into the vine, you'll have what you need. He says in verse 5, "Without me, ye can do nothing." I can do all things through Christ. I have to be plugged in to the vine. That's how I can do all things. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is our strength. Don't let the world get you confused on how we're supposed to live this life. He has to be your sufficiency. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. We'll just look at one more place. Colossians chapter 3. I can do all things through Christ. If the Lord calls us through a lean time, we ought to be able to say, you know what, I can do all things through Christ. I don't rely on that. I rely on Him. And I mean, I can tell you by testimony, the Lord's never let any need fall in my life. It's never happened. I don't believe it will happen. He's promised to take care of our needs if we'll just rely on Him, if we'll just rest in Him. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ. Pause for a second. Are you risen with Christ? If you're saved. If ye then be then risen with Christ, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things where? Above. Not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, see those words, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What Paul is saying to the Colossian church is Christ is our life. He's the source of life. He's the source of everything we need. He's the vine. We're the branches. All isn't it neat that everywhere you read about it, it's the same story? Here's the thing. When I have trouble being a base, it's because I'm counting on something other than Christ. When I have trouble abounding and I lose myself when I'm in a time of abounding, I'm telling you right now, that's because I'm trusting in something other than Christ. What Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 4, he's saying, I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. I can be content in whatsoever state I am. I can do all things. Why? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When we act any other way, it tells us we're trying to plug into some other vine. We're trying to count on some other way, and Jesus is saying true contentment, ladies and gentlemen, is found in me. True sufficiency is found in me. I could give you a number of examples. I know people who I know them, and again, I'm not saying you have to be abased to be right with God. You don't, because notice what he says. He knows how to be full and to be hungry. I think we probably experience both in life at times. But it is such a testimony when you meet and usually it's a senior saint. And you think, man, they just are scraping by. They don't have they've got the joy of the Lord. They've got the peace of Christ. They're not fretting over their circumstances. You know what? They've lived and they've seen that Jesus has always taken care of everything they've ever needed. We can learn something from such a testimony. They've learned to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth them. And so I hope this afternoon, I hope you can understand, before we ever talk about giving, and I really won't be a lesson on giving as much as it'll be that the Lord has blessed us to be able to give. But before we ever get to that, you need to understand our contentment is not found in the things that we have, the amount of money that we have. It's not found in that. It's found in Jesus. And you might say, well, we get it. But I wonder. Because, I mean, America today doesn't get that. Christian America today doesn't get that. We're just off after the next thing, looking for contentment. It's like we got this void we think we need to fill. And Jesus is like, listen, I'm the vine. I'm it. Plug into me. Live by me. Learn of me. Trust in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Lord, thank you for the afternoon. Thank you for your word. Simple message today, especially this afternoon, but I do pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get it. I think it's simpler to talk about than it is to live. Lord, I don't know the future. We may face lean times. We may face times of abounding, but Lord, help us to just always have our sufficiency in you, to trust in you. And Lord, help us to learn this thing of contentment as Paul learned. I pray we'd be people who live apart from our financial and worldly circumstance and just trust you with everything. Lord, I thank you for the example that's here in the scripture. I pray, Lord, that we'd apply it to our lives. Lord, help us as we go throughout our week this week to be a light to somebody, to be a witness and a testimony. Lord, give us opportunities, even if they're just small conversations. Help us to be able to sow a little bit of seed or water a little bit of seed this week, and we'll thank you for what you do. We ask for you to dismiss us in your love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.